Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
I'm gonna show love and power, to show His mercy and grace, to conquer the nation, declaring His praise, igniting revival, with signs of living truth.
So we're continuing on today, part 2.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We pray that you would anoint me and my lips of clay to speak forth your word with accuracy, with excellency, and with boldness. I pray that you anoint the ears and the hearts and the eyes of everybody in this church to receive from heaven. You said if anyone ministers, let him minister as the oracle of God, a divine answer to the questions in the heart of the people of God. I thank you that we minister as oracle of God. We bind the interceptors of light, every demonic influence and power. We take authority over it and cast it out. And we pray for a free flow of revelation, signs, wonders, and miracles. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if I could get the monitor up, I came up on stage so I could have a monitor, but the monitors are too low for me. What's going to happen is, a little bit higher. When the monitors are low, I preach louder. And for you guys, it's like I'm screaming at you and your ears are hurting, you know, because I'm preaching louder to hear myself, but you guys are hearing me too loud, right? So we need to have those monitors up high for me. And if it's too loud in the house, just let Pastor Jay know. She could turn the house speakers down. How do I sound? Do I sound like okay there? Not too loud? Am I too loud, though? Because a lot of churches, it hurts my ears. So you're good. I'm at the limit. Okay, great. All right, Church Incorporated, let's recap. I think we're at number 8 today. Let's recap. Okay, thy kingdom come. Say thy kingdom come. Everyone here is familiar with the prayer that says, let your will be done, let your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Unfortunately, that prayer has become so coined and so quoted in church by everybody that I think that we have been vaccinated against the truth of that verse. You know what a vaccine is? A vaccine is when it gives you just enough of that virus so that you're immune to that virus. So we've been vaccinated by religion so much so that we are immune to spiritual truth because we've been vaccinated by religion. And so we've been so vaccinated by religion and in pertaining to thy kingdom come, that will be done, that we don't really understand the revelatory truth of Christ's prayer. When Christ was praying, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, he was essentially praying the mission of why he had come to earth. He had come to earth so that God's kingdom could come and so that God's will could be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because Adam and Eve, who were made in the image of God, their job was to execute God's will on the earth. Their job was to execute God's will on the earth. But when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, they now were no longer doing God's will. And that's why if you look at what a son of God is in the Bible, you'll see that Adam and Eve were the sons of God. Then after Adam and Eve, everybody who was born from then until Christ, they're no longer called the sons of God. In the entire Bible, nobody except for Adam, until Christ came, was nobody else ever called the Son of God. Everyone else after that was called the Son of Man. Because Adam and Eve are made in the image of God, But their children were made in the image of corruptible flesh. So just like if I had this pan is made after the original design of the manufacturer. It's the child of the manufacturer. It's the brainchild of the manufacturer. But if I make cakes, if I fill this up with nice cake batter, every cake will come out in the perfect shape of this pan. Now, the designer had designed it this shape in this way. Every cake reproduced after it will be in the image of the designer. But if I took a hammer and smashed a big dent into the bottom of this pan, and then I poured in the cake batter, the cake that would come after it, the offspring of this pan, would not be in the image and in the design of the creator. It would have a dent in it. Am I right? So every cake after that would be made in the image and the likeness of the dented pan. And therefore, that's what me and you are before we're born again. That's what all of humanity was after Adam and Eve. Every human being after Adam and Eve was made in the image and the likeness of a corrupted, damaged, dented pan. Does that make sense? So now they were no longer the sons of the creator. Now they were considered the sons of corruptible man. So now we go on for thousands of years of humanity where people were not doing God's will and God's kingdom was not being fulfilled in the plan of God as God had originally intended. So when Christ comes, his prayer, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First of all, we're saying it's not being done on the earth as it is in heaven. Number one. Number two, he had come to bring it to pass on the earth. And number three, it's going to take humanity's participation. Is going to take humanity's participation. If we don't, you know, people are fighting politically in America about the this and this political issue and that political issue, and they're trying to find a political problem, a political solution to a problem of sin. And you can't legislate morality. Because, you know, I've been living in 10 years in China. Chinese would say, you can't do this, so the Chinese people would just make loopholes around it. And the Chinese government would say, oh, you can't go on Google. You can't go on YouTube. So China would just create VPNs so you could just skip that firewall. And that no matter what the government does in China, Chinese people find a way to go around it. And isn't that the nature of human beings? Anytime there's a rule set for us, we find out a way to go around the rules. You know, all the tax rules. They say that there's so many tax laws that can fill up this whole room with books. And what do? With all those laws, we found ways to go around the tax rules. Am I right? It's the nature of human beings to go around the rules, to go around the laws. Because that's that corrupt nature that God gave us. That the enemy gave us through causing Adam and Eve to sin. Not God, amen. But that was corrupted. We're made in the image of corruptible man. Until you're born again. So now when you're born again, you have a new nature in your spirit. But the problem is you have a new nature, but you still have an old mind. Your mind has been corrupted. So now you have to be renewed, the Bible says, in the spirit of your mind. So your kingdom come and your will be done. Christ was saying, I've come to bring the kingdom back to this world. Number one. Number two, it's going to take the participation of God's children. You can go and live your life as a Christian, or you can choose to live God's life, God's plan for your life. You can choose. You have the right to choose. So when we're praying for internalizing that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven, you're saying, not my will, but thine be done. That's what you're saying when you're praying that prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. What is your will for me? Who should I marry? Who should I partner with? Where should I live? What should I work? All of these kind of things, if we're truly committed to establishing God's kingdom, they shouldn't just be whatever we think that we want to do, but they should be done prayerfully, asking God for wisdom, asking God for direction. And they should be chosen by influence or under the influence of the Word of God. Because if you're doing things outside of the influence of God's word, you might do things out of fear, you might do things out of doubt, you might do things out of all manner of ungodly ways. And ungodly doesn't necessarily mean sinful, but it could just simply be out of fear. Not everything is sin, but some things are simply done out of fear. For example, taking the last little piece of your bar of soap and saving them up, and then taking them with your other last piece of bar of soap and squeezing them together to make one large bar of soap so you can save money on not buying an extra bar of soap. Has anybody ever did that before? I have, amen. Well, it's more so being done out of a lack mentality. Fear of not having enough. Fear of trying to, you know, it's done out of that kind of mindset. It's not a sinful mindset, but it's not from a mindset of abundance and out of God's provision. Roy and his wife would not go to Costa Rica. They would cancel this mission trip if they didn't have some type of faith that somehow God's going to have to do something to get us out of the situation. We're going to have to cancel the trip. We're going to have to do whatever we got to do to get out there and make some money quickly, because the bills are coming up soon. They would do that, and it wouldn't be sin to do that. But it would not be God's will to cancel these tremendous meetings planned in Costa Rica where people are going to come and be saved and be set free and delivered. So it wouldn't be a sin to cancel, but it wouldn't be the best of God, trusting and relying on God's supernatural provision. So asking God's will to be done in your life and his kingdom to come in your life really takes a renewed mind to do that. Somebody say amen. So, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's intention is for his kingdom to be established here in our life and here in our communities. The nation state, I was trying to read my quote. Who is that? My wife or Joe? Joe's would have been better. That's why I need to get my wife off the PowerPoint. Joe would be on point with me. Amen. Amen. The nation state that you're born, we're talking about country. The country that you're born gives you access to operate within the laws that govern it, enjoying its rights and privileges. Similarly, in the kingdom of God, you can only experience the benefits and only enter the system if you are born into it. You have to be born again. So Jesus said, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He was able to pray that prayer because he was coming to bring the kingdom of God back into the hearts of men. So we said last week that the kingdom of God is not here and it's not there, but the kingdom of God is within us. I saw Vivek Ramaswamy, who's running for president, debating with DeSantis and with Nikki Haley yesterday on television. And they asked him about his Hindu faith. They said, you're not a Christian. You're a Hindu. How do you feel that would affect you as a president if you became president? He said, well, it doesn't matter what our religion is because we all have God on the inside of us. And I said, he just lost the evangelical vote. If you're not saved, you don't have the God in you. If you're not saved, you have the devil in you. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. If you're not saved, you do not have God in you. If you're not born again, you do not have God in you. The only way to have God, the Holy Ghost, first of all, we don't have the Father in us, and we don't have Jesus in us. You know how we're taught in Sunday school, where is Jesus? In my heart. Point to Jesus, where is he? He's in my heart. No, that's not biblical. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. When the Bible talks about Christ in you, he's not saying Jesus in you. And we mix that up because of religion. We've been vaccinated by religion. Jesus is not in us. The Bible says Jesus is at the right hand of God. So what does the scripture mean when it says Christ in you, the hope of glory? It's not talking about Jesus. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's not Mary Christ and Joseph Christ and Jesus Christ and James Christ. It wasn't the Christ family. We have this idea that like Jesus Christ was his last name. Christ meant Mashiach in the Hebrew. It's Christos in the Greek. And what Mashiach is the anointed one or the Messiah. So we call him Jesus, not Jesus Christ being his last name. I'm sure he probably had a last name. You know, everyone back then was something Ben this, something Ben that. You know, they had several names based upon the father, so and so. I don't personally know. I haven't studied out what Jesus' full name was. You know, I know in Hebrew, his first name was Yeshua, but Yeshua what? I'm not sure. Okay? But Christ was not his name. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. Literally, it's translated, the anointed one and the anointing. So if you're a Christian, that doesn't mean that you're affiliated with Jesus. That's not what that means. A Christian means you are anointed with the same anointing of the anointed one. That's what it means to be a Christian. So you're not a Christian if you are not operating in signs, wonders, and miracles, the power of God, if the Holy Ghost don't show up, and when you pray, and in your life there's no presence of God, you're not a Christian. You might be a churchgoer. You might be religious. But to be a Christian is to be somebody that has the anointing of the Holy Ghost operating in their life. They were called, the Bible says, that they were called Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. It says they were called Christians in Antioch because they saw they were raising the dead like Christ rose the dead. They were healing the sick like the Christ healed the sick. They were doing miracles like the Christ was doing miracles. So they called them Christians, little anointed ones, or anointed like the Messiah. Well, isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also. And even greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. So they were called Christians, anointed ones, because they were doing the same works as the Messiah. So when the Bible says Christ in you, it's talking about the anointing of the Messiah that is in you by the Holy Ghost. So it's the Holy Ghost that is in you when you're born again. So God is in you if you're saved by the Holy Ghost. Because you've confessed Christ, received him as your Lord, acknowledged the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection, repented of your sins. You've been born again, so the Holy Ghost is in you. But if you're Hindu, if you're Muslim, even if you're just a churchgoer, does not mean you have God in you. Does not mean you are a Christian. Do you hear me? Amen. You don't have God in you just because you're a human being. Now, if Vivek would have consulted with some Christians before he went on this debate, and I'm not talking politics, but I'm talking theology here, they would have told him, listen, you don't have God in you. Don't say that. Say we are all made in the image of God. That would have been correct. Humanity is made in the image of God. But we have been dented like the pan through sin. And the only way to fix that original sin is to be born a second time. To be born again. Amen? The world does not have God in them. They're made in the image of God, but they've been dented. And the only way to get that dent out is not laws and more laws and new laws and laws on top of laws. It's for the church to do her job to go out there and fix the dent. Get a new nature in the hearts of men. I have friends. I had a I had friends that were Muslim from Morocco. I had friends that were in the Taliban, trained in Afghanistan, Pakistani friends from the Taliban. And after they got saved, even Adnan here in Houston, Pakistani Muslim background, but after he got saved, they began to love the Jews. You can't make a Muslim love a Jew because of the laws, but you can by changing the hateful nature of mankind by getting them born again. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Next slide, please. So Mark 4, 31 through 32. We read that the word of God is like a grain of mustard seed. We also learned that the kingdom of God is like this example, a grain of mustard seed. So the word of God is the seed. The kingdom of God is like the process of a grain of mustard seed. We shared last week, we're talking about a process. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up, and it becomes greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. God wants you to be so blessed through the word of God, because this type of blessing comes through the word. He wants you to have so much peace from the word of God, so much faith from the word of God, that when stressed people come around you, they feel calm. Hallelujah. People used to pick me up and take me out to eat when I was in Bible college. You know, I went to Bible college and everyone said, you know, when you go to college, everyone's broke. You're going to be eating ramen noodles. You know the Bible, the college. When you go to college, you're going to be on ramen noodle diet every day. You know, and I said, not me. I said, I'm going to go to Bible college, and I'm going to put on a 50 pounds. Hallelujah. I'm going to eat good food. I'm going to be going out to eat. I'm not even going to pay the bill. I'm going to get straight A's. I'm going to have my, we had a rule in our school where you had to wear suits and ties. And I was a gangbanger. All I had was gym shoes and jeans. That's all I owned. And I said, I'm going to have 5 suits, one for every day of the week. A black suit, a brown suit, a cream suit, a gray suit, a navy blue suit. And I just prayed. I said, I'm going to have straight A's. I'm going to eat like a king. I'm going to have my tuition paid. I'm going to, you know, wear 5 suits. And I went to the Marshalls to buy 5 pairs of socks, dress socks. Because I couldn't afford suits, I could only afford socks. I bought a brown sock, I brought a blue sock, I brought a cream sock, I bought a gray sock, and a navy blue sock. I bought 5 socks, and I lay hands on my socks, karabashadabasata. Matching ties in the name of Jesus come to me. Matching suits come to me. And every day I worked at Chase Bank downtown, no, Harris Bank actually. And I had a 45-hour break, and I would walk around downtown Chicago, third shift, it was 1 in the morning. I'd take my lunch break, and for 1 hour I would pray straight A's, meals paid for, 5 suits, you know, tuition paid for. I'd pray for all these things. And every single thing God gave me. I got straight A's. I graduated magna cum laude. I got 5 suits. I was blessed by different people for suits. Every suit matched the exact color of my socks. When I got to school, like my 2nd or 3rd year, we went to do an outreach in the prisons. And I was with another gentleman. We went together. He was an African-American gentleman. And we were in the bus together going to the prisons to preach. And I told him my testimony at the prison, how I'm from the gangs and the drugs and all these things. And I had no money for school, and God bless me. And we got back in the van. He said, man, Joey, he said, I'm shocked at your testimony. I thought you were a rich white boy. Hallelujah. That's why I keep getting robbed. He said, I thought you were a rich white boy. That's the first time I ever heard anyone think I was rich. I said, glory to God. I said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, then I said, why would you say that? He said, because you're wearing a different suit every Sunday. Brown suit, blue suit, gray suit, you know. He said, every Sunday you're wearing a different suit. Hallelujah. And you know, if you know how to mix and match, 5 suits turns into 10. Amen. put the blue jacket with the gray pants, and then put the dark brown jacket with the cream pants. And you can mix and match, makes it look like you have 20 suits. Hallelujah. He said, you came to church every Sunday with a new suit on. He said, I thought you were a rich, spoiled white boy, and your daddy, he had no idea I was orphaned. Both my parents were dead. He said, I thought your rich parents were paying your tuition and paying everything. I said, no. I got all this by the word of God, by sowing the word of God, sowing the word, declaring and praying the word of God over my needs. So, sure enough, just like I prayed, every day, people would pick me up after school, take me for lunch, take me to the China buffet, take me to Chili's, take me to Applebee's. They were always taking me out to eat, and they would always say stuff like, you know, Joey, I'd like to take you and just take you out and hang out with you, because when I'm around you, I'm so happy. When I'm around you, I just feel peace when I'm with you. Grown men, I just feel peace when I'm with you. Hallelujah. God wants you to have so much peace that people feel peace when you're around them. God wants you to have so much joy that people feel joy when you're around them. Brother Kenneth Hagin said that whenever sick people would come around him, the pains would go away. He said one guy in particular had high blood pressure. And every time he would come and hang out with Papa Hagin, his blood pressure would go right down. And then when he would go home, the blood pressure would shoot back up. And then Brother Hagin would come back down. God wants you to work the word of God to the point where not only are you blessed, but that other people can come and rest in your blessing. I said, God, I thank you. I was praying over this message this morning. I said, God, I thank you that I'm so rich that my son Asher and my son Ethan will never worry about lodging and food. If they grow up and they go out and they have a hard time, they try and start a business, they fall on their faith, they whatever happens to them in life, I want to always have a bedroom for them waiting. I always want to have a food for them, a washer and a dryer machine that they can, if they get married and can't find a house, that them, their wife, and their kids can come live in my house. Because God wants us to be so blessed that the blessing on us can create lodging for other people. So God, I don't ever want my kids to worry about food or housing. Let them go out there. Let them try. Let them shoot their shot. How many times did Donald Trump hit bankruptcy before he became a billionaire? Go out there and just, how many businesses fail before one is successful? They say, I don't know the numbers, they say many. They say most, I think 4 or 5 times you fail before you become wealthy. Let them go out there, let them live, let them take their shot. Let me just have a big enough house that them and their wife and their kids could come and live and eat and not worry about that because daddy is blessed. Amen. That's the blessing of God. And the only way to get to that blessing, if you're not born with the silver spoon in your mouth like I wasn't, is by taking the word of God. That's why the word of God is called the great equalizer. You know, I have a sermon that I preached, and I call it the advantage of being disadvantaged. The advantage of being disadvantaged. The person who is born an advantaged life will often lose toe-to-toe with Manny Pacquiao. Don't let some advantage boxer get in the ring with Manny Pacquiao, who had to fight on the streets all of his life and train in a ghetto gym in General Santos, Philippines, where he's chasing around chickens like Rocky Balboa. Because he has more grit than the person who is born with the silver spoon in his mouth. Now, if you're born with the silver spoon in your mouth, God bless you. But what I'm saying is that the word of God is the great equalizer. You could be come from nothing. You could be poor. You could come from a depressed family and have a joyful family. You could come from a line of sick folk and have a line of healthy people. John G. Lake, he was in Spokane, Washington. He turned the entire city, Google it, read it up. He turned the entire city of Spokane to the healthiest city in America. One man turned the entire city to be the healthiest city in America through his healing schools. That's how the kingdom of God operates. If a man would plant seed in the ground, even if it's just the size of a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, it will grow up to the point where even other people could come and live off of your blessing. That is where we're going, folks. And that's where God wants to take you. I love to be at the place where this an accident like this happens to our members. Here's $5,000. Don't worry about it. You were trying to save $5,000. Pff, here you go. God bless. Be blessed. And I know men of God that do that because they've worked their faith. They stood on the word. They built this system of the word of God in their life and are seeing the fruits. This is where God wants us to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Next verse. Luke 17:3-5 says this. Watch this. What is the connection? Watch it. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. If you repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again and say to him, I repent, thou shalt forgive me. And the apostles said what? Lord, can you see that? No? It's too dark? Oh, my podium is blocking. He says, Lord, it says, increase our faith. Say, increase our faith. What does faith have to do with forgiving somebody who keeps on abusing you, hurting you, letting you down? What's the connection between that and faith? Number two, next slide. How does Jesus reply to them when he says, increase our faith? This is how he responds. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up from the root and be planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Why did Jesus respond to them this when they asked him for more faith? And why did they ask him for faith when it comes to forgiving somebody who has repeatedly hurt them? What's the connection? Why? Well, number one, to forgive somebody takes faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things that you hope to pray for, believing for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is something that you don't feel. So I might not feel like forgiving you. I might not feel any love in my heart. I might not feel any grace towards you in my heart. But I can forgive you with faith. I might, you know, not have nothing in me at all that wants to forgive you. But faith is not a feeling. So I can say I forgive them by faith in Jesus' name. I don't feel it, but I do it by faith, because faith is not a feeling. And that's why we can't operate by feelings. If you wait for a tingle on your body, if you wait for a bubbling in your spirit, if you wait for a feeling of love towards somebody, you can be deceived. I have known preachers that have said, I felt the presence of God when I cheated on my wife. I felt the anointing come on me. And I felt the love of God when I met this beautiful woman at the coffee shop. And I know I had to leave my wife for her. You have to be careful what you're feeling, because the enemy can copy the feeling. That's what a familiar spirit is. When we talk about familiar spirits, we don't know what that means. A familiar spirit is a spirit that will come to you in a familiar way. A feeling of, my male teacher, you're a male, put his hand on my shoulder and I felt warm. Maybe I'm gay. No, that's the familiar spirit. Oh, my girlfriend at school began to rub her fingers through my hair and I just felt affection. I felt good. No, that's a familiar spirit. Norma Hayes' daughter was in the hospital dying, and the Holy Ghost came to her And she felt this warm comfort over her body. And he said, "It's okay, my daughter. You've lived a good life. You walked by faith and not by sight. Just let go and come home to be with me." And she felt this peace come over her. And immediately the Spirit of God rose up in her body. And he said, "That is not me. That's a familiar spirit. Rebuke that and you shall live." She thought this comforting voice that came to her was the Holy Ghost. And how many people on their deathbed feel that same familiar spirit saying, "It's okay, honey, just let go and come home." And it's not God at all. It's a familiar spirit. If you go by feelings and not by the word, because the word says you shall live and shall not die. The word says you shall be promised 80 years. 80 years, the word of God promised. The word of God says, "With long life I will satisfy you." If it wasn't for the word, she would have let the feeling deceive her. Because that's what familiar spirits do. They come as something you're familiar with. So Samson was with Delilah. And he told her his secrets. And she cut off his hair. And when the Philistines came in, he jumped up and he began to fight them. Because the Bible says that he knew not that the spirit had left him. Because you can't go by feelings. If you go by feelings to have a healing service, the devil, all he has to do is make the service feel dry and you won't do the altar call. Make the service feel dry and you won't call for souls. All he has to do is give you a feeling. They're not listening to you. Look, they're not even looking at you. They're falling asleep. All he has to do is give you a feeling and he can deceive you. We don't go by feelings. We go by the word of God. Feelings can follow the word, but we don't go. Some woman or guy or anybody touches me, and I feel warm, tingly, hallelujah. I have to rebuke that spirit. I don't receive it because, I feel warm. I might be, gay, hallelujah. Just so you know, there's not a gay bone in my body, FYI. Don't try it. You get popped, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. The hardest thing was I went to a gay parade to evangelize, and this guy tried to kiss me because he knew I was evangelizing, and he was just like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to kiss this guy." And I did everything I can not to knock him out, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to, knock out, there's a whole bunch of them. It's a parade, you know what I mean? I don't want to get jumped, Trust me, you don't want to get jumped by gays. Just ask, Abraham's cousin Lot, They got jumped by gays, Angels had to come protect them. You can't go by feelings. Feelings can deceive you. You have to go by the word of God. A familiar spirit is designed to deceive us. I pray for people by faith. I do altar calls by faith. I preach even when I'm feeling sick by faith. I preach when there's a dilemma in my life. I do it when I don't feel like it. Amen. Because I do it by faith. Some people say, "I wait for this tingling in my hand, and when my hand begins to warm up, I know that's a sign to pray for people." I say, good. I never had a tingle in my life. And I pray for people with blind eyes and the eyes have opened up. I pray for people with brain tumors and the tumors dissolve right there in the church. And I never felt a tingle in my life. If I had a tingle, and you know how many goofballs I told me, say, "I'm feeling a tingling. I'm feeling a healing anointing." And I say, "Okay, well, go pray with somebody." And I pray for them and nothing happens. Well, how good is that tingling? What's all that tingling for? We don't operate by tinglings, by feelings. We operate by the word of God. A lot of times what we think is the anointing is just of somebody who is charismatic, knows how to stir people up, get them excited, knows how to play the piano and sing really good, and there's no anointing at all. Because we think that the anointing has something to do with emotions and feelings. And it's absolutely not. The Bible says that Paul the Apostle was so boring that when he would preach, people would fall asleep, and one boy even fell out the window in his sermon. Fell out the window. He was so boring, his sermons. Fell out the window. But he had enough power. He went back down. That kid was dead. He raised that kid right back to life. Called the spirit back into his body. You don't have to be a great orator, a gifted preacher, know how to move a crowd, because this has nothing to do with the emotion realm. It has to do with the laws of the kingdom of God. You can get up and say, I'm having a blessed day, when you feel depressed. You can get up and say, this is the best day of my life, when you can't pay your bills. You can get up and say, I'm going to be prosperous. I'm going to have success. My kids are going to be blessed, when everything in your life looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket. Because we don't go by what we see. We don't go by what we feel. We go by what the Word of God promises us. And the Bible says, resist the devil, and he's going to be the one to back down, not you. If you back down, you'll never see God's glory. But if you don't back down, you will see the hand of God in the land of the living. Somebody say amen. So how do the disciples get forgiveness? You start off as a grain of mustard seed. I don't feel it, but just like a grain of mustard seed, I'm just going to declare, I forgive my father. I forgive my mother. I forgive my spouse. I forgive my son, Asher, for not taking out the dishes. Hallelujah. Now you did, amen. You forgive by faith, because faith's not a feeling. Even if you just start with that grain of mustard seed. What's the grain of mustard seed? Your words. If it's the smallest, simplest thing you can do is to speak the word, that's easy enough. Any one of us can do it. I've had women in our church that were demon-possessed because they hated their mother and father. And the demons were in them. And they were growling and demons manifesting. And I said, forgive your mother and father. I can't. We said, just release it. Say, I forgive. I can't. I said, just say it. And they said, I forgive my mother and father. And just did nothing but say those words. And immediately the demons came right out of them. They were set free by the power of God. That's the grain of mustard seed is words. Jesus said, if you had faith as a seed. In another place, he said, if you had faith as a seed, you would say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. The seeds are the words of God that you speak. Whether you feel it or not, if you plant the seed of the word of God, the Bible says, we showed you last week, you'll sleep and you'll rise day and night. And you don't know how it's going to happen, but you shall have it. Me and my wife had no car. We had no money for a car. But somebody blessed me with a bassinet, a car seat, excuse me. You remember that, honey? The orange Chevy? Somebody blessed us with a car seat. Well, I've been in the kingdom long enough to know that was a sign that God wanted us to have a car. We had no car in Beijing. And we had no money for a car. And I said, honey, somebody gave us this car seat. And she was newly saved. And I said, that means God's going to give us a car. And she's like, oh, okay, honey. She didn't know what was going on. She's like, she just got saved. She don't know the Bible at all, you know. She's like, okay, praise the Lord, you know. And I was like, all right, you know. And I started praying for that car. I said, God, I thank you for my car. Just like I bought those socks, you gave me the suits. I knew I was going to get a car because he gave me a car seat. Just like I knew if I had the socks, if I could just get the socks, I'd get those suits. And I prayed for that car. I prayed for that car. I called it in. And I even think I prayed that before the baby would be born. Asher was born April 15th, 2000. 11. We got that car, I think it was around June. Was it June? About two months into him being born, we got that car. So when we got the license plate, we made the license plate 0415 for his birthday. Because, you know, God gave us a car so we could get him around to class, get him to school, you know, take him, go pick up groceries. We knew God gave us a car because we're going to have a baby now. And we need a car to get around. Watch this. God spoke to me. And he said, you don't need a car. He said, a car needs you. And I said, God, what do you mean? He said, turn to Romans chapter 8. And let me close with this verse. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. Verse 19. When you get this, amen. You guys have it in your phone or anything? Turn to Romans 8, 19. He said, you don't need a car. A car needs you. And I said, God, what do you mean? He said, for the earnest expectation of the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Adam, who has subjected the same in hope. But the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That dent in the pan. When Adam sinned, it not only affected all of humanity, but affected the earth. Remember, God said, from thorns and thistles you will eat of the fruit of the earth for the rest of your life. Through the sweat of your brow, you'll struggle to make ends meet. Because this sin not only affected humans, but it affected even the earth. When Jesus died, he appeared after the resurrection to Mary and Martha. And he said, touch me not, because I have not yet gone to the Father. Why couldn't they touch him? When he went to the Father, he came back, he told Thomas, put your finger into the sides of my body. How come they were able to touch him afterwards? Why couldn't they touch him before he went to the Father? Because Adam's sin had corrupted the entire universe. It had even corrupted the heavenly utensils in heaven, up to, but not including, the throne of God. So Christ had to take that blood. And Hebrews tells us, go into heaven. So he couldn't be touched before he, because they would have defiled the blood. He had to take that resurrected blood and cleanse the utensils, the Bible says, and sprinkle the mercy seat with the sinless blood of God. That's why she could not touch him. Adam's sin not only affected us, but affected the ground and affected even up to heaven. It corrupted the universe. So now, he says this. But the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know all the gold, the silver, the diamonds, the houses, the land, the mountains, the cars, the automobiles, the boats, the planes, all of these things, all of creation groans and travails in pain together, even until now. All the substance of earth is groaning for the children of God to recoup it, to redeem it, to take possession of it, and use it to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus said, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to be done through you and me. God said to me, you don't need a car. The car is crying out for you. Because you, that car needs you to go and preach the gospel. Get to the airport. Pick up sinners. Take them to church. Go and do the work of the kingdom. Go meet who you have to meet. Pray for who you have to meet. That car needs you. And from that moment forward, my mindset changed. I no longer was praying for a car. I realized the car is praying for me. So all I had to do was call for the car. And I said, car, in the name of Jesus, I'm talking to you. I said, car, come to me now in Jesus' name. And I called that car in. And within weeks, we got a brand new car off the lobby, 0 miles, and we paid cash for that car. Somebody say cash. It wasn't a miracle of a loan from the bank at 24% interest. That's the curse, amen. Cash. We had no money when I received that car seat. But God is faithful. You don't have to figure out how he's going to do it. The Bible says just plant that word day and night. I'm debt free. My bills are debt free. My mortgage is canceled. I have more than enough. Just plant that seed according to the word of God. We think that we are praying for God to come and do something for us. But that's unscriptural. The Bible says that the earth is really groaning for us to come and take it. Jesus, the gospel says this. Let's get the baby out, please, for a moment. Amen. She don't need a spanking. A spanking needs her. No, I'm joking. She's okay now. She just wanted to be walked around. You can walk around with her. He says that if God held not back his only son, how much more would he freely give us every earthly thing? Why would he give his only son and hold back a house, a car, a plane, automobile, a tuition paid? Why would he hold that back if he gave you the most precious thing in the universe? We had this mentality, we're trying to get something from God. Let me tell you, no, God is trying to get something to you. And if we can make that switch in our mind, our faith can be released. And you'll sleep and rise day and night. You don't have to know how. Jesus said, don't worry about the how, because it'll begin to spring up. You knoweth not how. Let's stand to our feet here and close. Father, we thank you for giving us the patience today to hear the entirety of the matter, for giving us the ability to pay attention throughout this message, because you have spoken clearly to us today that the good things in this earth must be used to preach the gospel. Our debts must be paid to be free to go and on mission trips and evangelize and give and help the poor. Our finances must be freed up to bless a brother and a sister in a situation like they had, Father God. And God, we are not in a position trying to receive something from you. You are in the position trying to give us the kingdom. But we've not understood the power of the word of God. We have not understood the principle of speaking and planting the word of God and sticking with it sincerely in faith until we see the fruits begin to manifest. Father, we know that your word is powerful, that not one word that comes out of your mouth shall fall to the ground, that everything that you said shall come to pass. And if we would believe it, if we would plant it, if we would meditate on it, you said and you promised that if we would brood over your word day and night, that it would begin to bring forth fruit. And we can no longer let the cares of the world choke it out. We can no longer let the worries and the pride of life and the distractions of life to choke out the word. We can no longer let Satan come in and choke the word out. But we make a commitment to stick with the word, to stand on the word, to see it come to pass. Because the blessing is generational. It's not just for us, but it's for our children. It's for our nation. And it's for Costa Rica, it's for Africa, it's for China, it's for the nations of the world that are dependent on us to manifest the kingdom of God. Dependent on us for your will to be done in our lives as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you for these things today. We give you blessings and worship. We thank you the revelation of this word is speaking and exploding, and it is expanding in the spirit of everybody here today. In their mind, they have understanding. In their spirit, this truth is expanding. And we bless it and seal it today by the blood of Jesus.
Praise God. This is Bishop Joseph Castillo. And I trust that you were encouraged and impacted by that message. Whenever a word of God goes forth by an anointed fivefold ministry gift, it leaves an eternal impact. So I want you to share this podcast on your social media, tweet it out, send it to your friends and your family so they can also receive this word of God. Now, if you're listening today and you haven't settled accounts with God, if you know you're not living right, let me tell you, Jesus came to this world not to condemn you, but that you can have life. And if you pray today with me, opening up your heart, repenting of your sin, God will give you a fresh start. Just open your mouth out loud and repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Give me new life. Father, I repent. From this day forward, I belong to you. Satan, I renounce you and the works of darkness, and I receive now the power of the Holy Spirit to give me new life and strength to overcome sin." Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to contact the ministry right now. Send us an email at anifcontact@gmail.com. anifcontact@gmail.com. And I'm going to send you some videos, some free books, just everything you need to grow. And we're going to connect you with the local church in your area, because this Christian life has to be lived with brothers and sisters, and you need pastors and teachers and men of God to walk you through, or women of God to help navigate and teach you and grow in the things of God. So we love you. We thank you for listening today. We ask you to share this podcast. Sow into the ministry. Give at anifTulsa.com. That's www.anifTulsa.com. Thanks for listening. This is Living Proof with Joseph Castillo.